I was a disillusioned Catholic when the Jehovah's Witnesses came to my door. And being a disillusioned any faith makes you very ripe for their picking, and I was ripe to be picked. But I was also a bottom line person, and my one son had taught me that. No matter what we discussed, everything for me had to be brought down to a bottom line, so it couldn't be divided or brought down any further. The witnesses started offering me answers, and that's what I needed at that time. I needed answers, and I needed those answers to come from the Bible. So I began to study, and I asked questions my study person couldn't answer. So here I was, back to requesting this bottom line answers again, and she couldn't answer them for me, and she got very frustrated, and then it started, one elder after another. They came to straighten me out. Well, my father-in-law had been of the remnant, and I knew that I had a lot of books and publications and the old records downstairs. So I started bringing these things upstairs, and I really started dissecting everything, because that's what I, as a person, had to do. So as I started doing this, and as I started researching, I became very upset, because I realized that I was being lied to. And I can accept anything, but I can't accept being lied to, especially about God. Whether I liked hearing it or not, it had to be the truth. So I found out that they had lied to me. But then I was the type of person also that if I read a publication and they quoted someone, I would go and look it up. I didn't just accept it, which most people do, most witnesses do. 99.9% of them will just say to themselves, well, if this is what the Watchtower said this person said, then that's what it said. Or if this is the book they're quoting, then that has to be the quote. I couldn't accept that. I had to go and I had to look it up and I had to read it for myself. And that's another way that I found that they were being very dishonest with me. So I really got an education about what the Watchtower Society was, how honest they were, how they presented their viewpoints. So I decided that they were the apostate. But I still had to search, and I still had to find what I knew in my heart was the truth. So I started putting it all aside, and I took my Bible, and I read it, and I read it 4 times, cover to cover. And I didn't need anything else but the Bible to give me the bottom line that I was searching for. That was all I ever needed. Well, I learned all the contradictions about everything that Jesus taught. They contradicted everything he taught. They contradicted everything he stood for. They contradicted everything that he did for us, but for me personally. This was a society of one contradiction after another. And who were they contradicting? They were contradicting Jesus Christ. Their type of love was not the type of love that Jesus Christ taught. When the sister that I was studying with realized that I wasn't just going to sit back and accept everything, she moved away. I didn't hear from her anymore. And I thought we were friends. I genuinely believed we were real friends, Christian friends. But that was the end of our friendship. I was questioning too much. So I found one afternoon that I did have eternal life. I found that in the Bible. And I found that Jesus died for me, for the forgiveness of my sins and the free gift of grace. It was free. It was given to me by my Father. And I wasn't about to throw a gift back in my Father's face. So I accepted the gift of grace. Little things that we had gone back and forth in the study. Jesus died on a cross. No, he didn't. He died on a torture stake. Me being a bottom line person again, it didn't really matter. It was that he died. It was what he did and how he suffered and who he did it for. That was the important thing, not getting hung up on whether it was a cross or not. The important thing was what he did for me, what he did for all mankind. So that's where my being a bottom line type of person brought me. My whole life changed. My whole life changed. I went to SeaWorld and I was watching the dolphins and the whales, and while everybody else was sitting there and they were clapping and enjoying the show, the tears were streaming down my cheeks. Because not only did Jesus go through everything he went through for me, but I began to realize all the beauty that he gave to us besides the free gift of grace. And I saw in those animals the beautiful relationship between them and man. And I saw that the flowers and the trees, and I was a new creation. I didn't look at anything the same anymore. I was different. I was different inside. It was at that point that I realized that I love my husband very much, and next to the Lord, he's the person that I love most. And I was so happy, and I felt so blessed that I had to let him know. And he was a very staunch Jehovah's Witness. So, was. But this was something too wonderful and too good to keep to myself. And I went through a lot of torture before I decided, what should I do? Should I just, by example, let him realize? Should I open discussions? What should I do? Well, I open discussions because that's the type of person I am. And living with a witness, I knew what I was in for. I knew. And we had many heated discussions. We never, however, discussed things to the point where he would be angry with me, or I would be angry, upset with him, and we would go to bed that night not speaking. Because I knew if I did that, there might be an opening the next day, and I had to take it if I saw it. So this went on for a while, and every night I would get into bed and I would pray, Jesus, please show me what to do. Do I continue to speak to him? Do I let it go? Do I put it in your hands? What do I personally do? And every day I'd get up, and every day an opportunity would be presented, and if it wasn't, I would make one. And I knew I was doing that. I knew I was doing that, but I had to do it. That's how I did it. That's how I did it. But this was just something too important. I just couldn't put it aside and say, well, I'll pray and see what happens. I loved him too much. So the one night we had had a very heated discussion, and I went to bed that night, and I prayed very hard. And I said, Jesus, you just have to give me a sign. I have to know if I'm doing the right thing. So we went through everything, the 144,000. We went through the Trinity. We went through all of that. And that night I needed to know. I needed to know if I was doing the right thing, and I needed a sign. And I thought, well, maybe I shouldn't ask for that, but I'm going to anyway. I got up the next morning, and he had been up early, and this was on a Sunday morning, and he said to me, Carol, I was watching Dr. D. James Kennedy,
And I never watched Dr. D.J.
And he never watched it. And he said, I understand now about the Trinity. And I knew then that Ernie was on his way to the Lord.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, there are some of the things that I had touched on about my life and how I had to grow up in a family of Jehovah's Witnesses. Prior to coming here, of course, I did have some notes, and I mentioned it to Bill. And Bill says, Ernie, if you don't have your notes, just open your heart and talk. Thank you. That's exactly what I'm going to do. All I can say is that being raised as a Jehovah's Witness, especially a Jehovah's Witness as my mother and father were, my father was of the anointed. And, well, he thought he was. And I loved my parents very much, but of course I loved my wife very much too and my children. And I didn't want to have that separation. I really didn't want to have that separation because I had brought my children into the organization. As I did when I was a child, they had to attend the meetings, all of them. We had to go out to service. We had to do that because we felt that that was works that had to be done in order to survive Armageddon. This fear had been instilled in me from when I was a child. If you're not good, you're going to be destroyed at Armageddon. You have to attend the meetings. You have to have the knowledge. You have to have works. And you have to follow the organization. Whether you believe it is right or wrong, you follow the organization and don't question it. Well, after I had had a lot of these discussions with my wife, as Kevin had mentioned, a lot of the seeds had been planted little by little, and these things were branded in my mind. And as I was growing up, there were a lot of questions that I had for the society that I was always in fear of asking. But the strangest thing is, my father had passed away, and shortly after that is when my wife came this close to becoming dedicated, which I was very enlightened about because I said, oh, great, this is going to be wonderful. We'll attend. Although she had gone to the meetings with us and everything, she was always there, but she just refused to become dedicated. She always had that little bit of doubt in her mind, and I thank God for that. But my father had passed away, and I felt very bad about that because, like a blinking of an eye, I felt, well, he's already in heaven, and he's part of the heavenly organization now. And I will be grateful for that, that he's at peace now, and he's happy. This is what he worked for all his life. And then I started realizing some doubts because there were things that my wife had told me about, and I went down to the basement. I had taken all of his old publications, Judge Rutherford records and all sorts of things, and I started playing them. I started hearing all these things that it was like Babylon the Great. I was confused. I mean, thoroughly confused. It was just like a devil on the left shoulder and Jesus on the right. You know, this one tugging me this way and Jesus tugging me that way, and I didn't know which direction to go in. I felt, just as Kevin mentioned, once you're a Jehovah's Witness, you feel that you have all these friends, and you have that fear of leaving the organization and the shame that's there because you're disfellowshipped. But what is right? What's the right thing to do? Well, what I did was I prayed, just as probably everybody else did, and I prayed very, very hard. And though I wouldn't admit it to my wife, I asked him, I says, please, show me the way, show me the sign, anything. Please help me. So what happened was, through reading these publications and with the information that my wife was giving me, I realized how totally ridiculous some of the conventions were in these records that they made Judge Rutherford made statements like, the demons are in them, we are now living in the end. And this was back, way back when, I don't even remember, when I was a very small child. My father had all these records. My dad used to go around because he spoke with a very foreign accent. My dad only went to the third grade, but he was very strong, and he really had a lot of love for God. And this encouraged me to follow his way of life, because he was a good man. Well, in my opinion, he was a Christian in his own heart. Because many times I heard him discussing with the elders about certain things that he interpreted from the Bible that they did not agree with him on. And that disturbed me greatly. And then I started thinking, all these publications that are coming up, they're saying that it's through the remnant and through the Holy Spirit that they're getting their information. Well, how about my dad? My dad was of the anointed. They never published anything that he had, you know, he had brought up. I mean, good points. Like, my father felt that Adam and Eve would be resurrected. I mean, that was his opinion. He says that those people didn't have it then. You know, maybe they were misjudged, and God is very forgiving, and he would resurrect them. And, of course, the society was strongly against that. He also felt that all those people before the flood were going to have an opportunity of life again. Jehovah's Witnesses know they were already judged and God destroyed them, so they're not going to be resurrected. And the one quirk that really, really did it is when I was on trial, so to speak, the elders came to my home because there were questions, just as everybody else had in the back of their mind, and I started dropping these little questions here and there, and they were concerned about me. And one of the elders called me inside and says, Ernie, we're watching you. And I says, well, watching me for what? What did I do? He says, well, we're just keeping our eye on you, and if there's anything that you feel that has to be discussed with us, you discuss it with us first. I says, fine, you know. But anyhow, what happened was I felt that I found in my own heart that after realizing and understanding the Trinity, that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is God, and Jesus is not a God, that he is God, I accepted that, and from that day forward, I felt like a bird out of a cage. I really did, and I had that freedom to look and study at everything and anything I wanted to study. But the only disheartening thing, of course, is that I do have a son that I brought into the society, who is now a pioneer. And please pray for him. I want him out of there as soon as we can get him out of there. I want him back. Out of 6 children that we raised, he's the strongest, and he just won't give up. And the other children, fortunately, are all Christians today. But that one, we got to get him out of there. And I am so grateful that I have received Christ. He's the way, he's the only way, he is life, and he is the temple, he is the true Christian, he is the true Christ, that is the true faith, Jesus Christ. Thank you.